Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. This is Pastor Juliet Schimpf speaking, and I'd like to welcome you to today's broadcast, which is being sponsored through the generous contribution of Jim and Judith Cran. A special thank you to this fine couple who is supporting our ministry. Check out our ministry, in fact, at www.gncm.ca. That's gncm.ca, short form for Good News Christian Ministries, and we'd like to hear from you. You can share with us how our broadcast is impacting your life. Well, today's broadcast is entitled, To God Be the Glory. To God Be the Glory. And I've said for years to my friends and family that I'd like my epitaph to say, To God Be the Glory. I wonder if you've given some thought to your epitaph. Well, we want to unpack what that short, pithy phrase even means, to God be the glory, and we're going to unpack it, and we're going to see that it means three things, namely, God with us, God for us, and God in us. Let me say that again, God with us, God for us, and God in us. But first, I want us to focus on Christ and settle down for his word by listening to that classic hymn, To God Be the Glory.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning. This is Pastor Juliet Schimpf speaking. Today's topic is, to God be the glory. And glory is a popular topic indeed throughout history. Lord Alfred Tennyson once wrote, "There's no glory like those who save their country." Abraham Lincoln went on to write, "Military glory is the attractive rainbow that rises in showers of blood." Glory. Napoleon Bonaparte said this, "Glory is fleeting, but obscurity is forever." You know, Bonaparte was correct that human glory is fleeting. It does not last forever. The scriptures explain it this way in Isaiah 40. "All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field, namely here today and gone tomorrow." Philippians 3 is even harsher when it talks about pursuing human glory. It says, "Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame." When we pursue human glory, it just doesn't cut it. It's not enough. Let me try to explain it this way. I want you to try to name the five wealthiest people in the world. Can you do that? How about the last five Heisman Trophy winners? Can you name them right now? Can you name the last five winners of the Miss American pageant? Could you name the last three people who have won the Nobel or Pulitzer Prize? Or can you name the last half dozen Academy Award winners? How did you do? Could you remember them? Probably not, because long after these awards are granted, the applause fades and the awards tarnish and the achievements are forgotten. Let's try a different quiz and see how you do on this one. List a teacher who aided your journey through school. Can you name a friend who helped you through a difficult time in life? And can you think of a person who made you feel appreciated and special? The lesson here is that the people who make a difference in your life are not the ones with the most credentials or the most money. No, it's simply the ones who care the most. All right, so I want to unpack with greater clarity what it means to live for God's glory. And I want to suggest it means three things. It means God for us, God with us, and God in us. Let's start then with God with us. John Piper explains that God is uppermost in his own affections, and the chief end of God is to glorify himself and enjoy himself forever. Yes, God is passionate about his own glory, and God's glory is all around us. In fact, Isaiah 6 boldly declares that the whole earth is full of his glory. So the glory of God is with us in creation alone. God with us is the glory of God all around us in creation. And C.S. Lewis explains that a man can no more diminish God's glory by refusing to worship him than a lunatic can put out the sun by scribbling the word darkness on the walls of his cell. God's glory cannot be diminished. It is all-encompassing. And God's glory always results in awe. I want you to remember this little phrase, where God's glory is on display, awe is always on the way. Immanuel Kant explained it this way. He said, two things fill the mind with ever new and increasing awe, namely the starry heaven above and the moral law within me. Indeed, God's creation, his starry heaven, yields awe within us. And I'm going to come back to that theme of awe later in the broadcast. But God is with us in his creation. He's also with us through his Son. It's no coincidence that John 1 explains, in light of the birth of Christ, that we have seen his glory, says John 1:14, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. God's glory is with us through his Son, Christ. God is with us. But God's glory isn't simply revealed in creation and also his Son. Did you know that God created us for his glory? Isaiah 43:7 says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory. And Ephesians 1 says, he chose us in him before creation to be holy and blameless. Indeed, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons to the praise of his glory. Friends, we were created for God's glory. And I want us to press in and look now at God for us to see what it means to live for God's glory. So we've looked at God with us. Let's now look at God for us. Did you know that the blazing center of God's glory is actually the cross? But don't take my word for it. I want you to listen to John Piper. He says this: ever since the incarnate redeeming work of Jesus, God is gladly glorified by sinners only through the glorification of the risen God-man, Jesus Christ. His bloody death is the blazing center of the glory of God. Friends, the cross of Christ is the pinnacle of God's glory. And it shows us in blazing technicolor that God is for us. Now, as an extension, it means that to live for the glory of God actually means to live for the glory of Christ crucified. And Paul understood this very well. That's why he says in Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 14, God forbid that I should glory in anything except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So we're getting closer to answering the question, what does it mean to live for God's glory? It means to live for the glory of the cross. And that's what the Westminster Catechism is hinting at, by the way. It asks that famous question, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Well, we've looked at God with us and God for us. We're going to pause and then come back and learn about God in us. But we're going to first pause and listen to a wonderful song you know well, namely, This Little Light of Mine.
Little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, let it
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning. Today's topic is "To God be the glory." And we're asking ourselves what this phrase means. I've been looking at three sections this morning. The first is God with us. And we saw that God is with us and his glory is on display in creation and then in his Son, Jesus Christ. We then looked at God for us, and we saw that the blazing center of God's glory is located on the cross. And that's why Paul gloried in the cross alone. Well, we're in the home stretch in our third section, which is God with us. And what we're going to look at now is how to live for God's glory. John Stott says, in a word, our glory is our obsession. It dominates our minds, it fills our horizons, and it engrosses our attention. Friends, what is your obsession? What dominates your mind? What engrosses your attention? John Stott boldly says this. He says, let other people be obsessed with fame, power, money. We who claim to follow Jesus should be obsessed with the cross. So perhaps you're now asking the question, okay, what does it mean to be obsessed with the cross? Well, it really means to be, first of all, obsessed with the person who hung on the cross. You know, you don't have to know a lot of things for your life to make a lasting difference in the world, but you do have to know the one great thing that matters. And that one thing is the death and resurrection of Christ. Once you know that one thing, and you're willing to live for such a thing, well, then everything else falls into place. So what does it mean to live for the glory of God and to live for the cross of Christ? Well, interestingly, we get a clue from Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. It says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Specifically, it says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The glory of God can radiate through us, friends. God in us. And so to live for God's glory, first of all, means to allow God's glory to shine from the inside out. It means, first of all, that we cease to live for our own glory. Jesus Christ himself modeled this. He said in John 8, I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. If Jesus Christ didn't seek his own glory, certainly we must not either. He went on to say in John 8, verse 54, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. So to live for the glory of God, first of all, means to cease living for our own glory and our own accomplishments. This happened to me at the age of 24. Up until then, I was living for my resume. My resume meant everything, and I was building it up with award after award, degree after degree, experience after experience. And then the Lord humbled me, and I decided to stop living for my resume and living for the cause of Christ. To live for the glory of God also means that we should live for an audience of one. To not worry what everyone thinks and to not please everyone around us. J.S. Bach, the famous composer, knew this well. He said, the aim and final end of all music should be none other than the glory of God and the refreshment of the soul. So if you're a musician, you can create music for the glory of God. He is your ultimate audience. If you're a painter, you can paint a portrait for the glory of God. There's a famous scene in the movie Chariots of Fire where a man says, you can praise the Lord if you peel a spud, as long as you peel it to perfection. Friends, we are called to live for the glory of God. And when we do, awe is not far away. Remember I said at the beginning of the broadcast, When God's glory is on display, awe is not far away. In Acts 2, we see this with the early disciples. It says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, and everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Everyone was filled with awe. Why? Because God's glory was on display. This is just what happened when Jesus walked the earth. It says in Matthew 9, when Jesus told the man to get up and take his mat. In verse 7, the crowd saw this and they were filled with awe. Why? Because they saw God's glory in full display. So, to live for God's glory is to appreciate first that God is with us, then that God is for us, and then that God is in us. My prayer for you, the listener, is that you will live for God's glory day by day. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have displayed your glory in creation, and that you then gave us your only Son, Christ, full of your glory. We want to learn to live for your glory. And we thank you, Lord, that you died for us, and we can see the light of your glory in the face of Christ, as 2 Corinthians 4 explains it. The light of the knowledge of your glory is displayed in the face of Christ. Father, will you help us to live for your glory, not our own? Would you live through us? We pray that our lights will shine for you. And we will conclude by saying the Lord's Prayer, which says, "Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen."
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.